Hey everybody and welcome. This is Donovan Bankhead with Springfield Music, and I appreciate you dropping in and listening to the podcast. With the Bow Better Bands podcast, my intention is to talk with our fellow educators across the state and share some of their best tips, tricks, and best practices. Also, maybe even share some of the things that they're struggling with so that we can help each other out, because we're all dealing with so many of the same issues in your programs. And us, as your school music dealer, want to try to be a resource to help you solve some of these challenges and issues. So anyway, we always appreciate you listening. And if you have ideas or tips or would like to be featured on the podcast, reach out to me and let me know. Donovan@springfield-music.com. All right, let's jump in.
Hey folks, I want to hear from you. If you have thoughts on today's episodes, have a suggestion for a future guest, or just have something you want to ask or share, look in the show notes of your podcasting app and click the link to send in a voice message. We'd love to hear from you.
So this is going to be a really fun episode of Mo Better Bands. For ever since I started this podcast, I've had directors express to me that they just would have had so much empathy for younger teachers, first, second year teachers that are having to begin their careers in this pandemic, and just how challenging and difficult it would be. And after hearing that so many times, I thought, well, you're probably right. And that led to a really fun conversation with Haley Kessner. And we had a great conversation at the tail end of ours as we were talking. We thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun to just get a bunch of first year teachers and see what all their experiences are like. And so today with us, we've got five different first-year teachers who kind of taught all over and had different experiences. And we're going to sort of share like what it was like to be a new teacher in Missouri during the pandemic. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I've asked them all as they kind of announce themselves or as they speak to announce themselves and where they're from. But Haley, since you're the veteran, we're going to start with you. You've done this. So introduce yourself and tell us where you teach, and maybe just a quick synopsis of this past year.
Yeah, my name is Haley Kessner. I teach 6 through 12 band at New Bloomfield R3 School. I went to Missouri State University, and more or less my entire year, I've only had 2 weeks online. The rest have been in person and just overall modified to whatever 2020 decided to have. So that's me.
Hi, I go by Brandon. I teach in the East Newton School District way down south. I also went to Missouri State University. Because of how south it is, this year has been relatively quote unquote normal. Aside from non-trips, we have not had a time that we were virtual, and we've been playing in classrooms pretty much the whole year.
Similar experience to Haley then. Kayla, how about you?
Hi there. My name is Kayla Noble. I'm the assistant director of bands at Francis Howe North High School in St. Charles. And I taught virtually and in person, kind of like a hybrid thing. So it was an interesting experience. I'm glad I got to experience both, but glad the virtual part is over with.
Yeah, I bet. We're going to talk about that. Where did you go to college?
Lindenwood University.
Hi, I'm Aubrey, and I teach at Lee May, Missouri at Hancock Place School District. And we started off the year fully virtual all the way until about October. And then we switched back to full 5 days a week in person for any students who choose to do so, which at the time meant I would lose about half of my kids to a virtual online learning program. And I was like, please let me teach these guys virtually in some way, shape, or form. So I've been teaching both virtual and in-person students at the same time on Zoom throughout the entire year.
Hi, my name is Kaylin Knost. I graduated from Lindenwood University. I'm the assistant director of bands at Marquette High School in the Rockwood School District. I also go down and teach and assist at Crestview Middle School. We started out fully virtual in the beginning of the school year. Then in about mid-November, sorry, my dog making noises.
What kind of dog is it? I know it's a dog with a nose like this. I can just tell.
He's a little boss interior.
Oh my gosh. You have a co-host too. All right.
I do. So I'm sorry about that. But we started off fully virtual until about the second week of November. Then we did a slow transition back to in-person. Students who wanted to stay virtual could stay virtual. Our district went to a quarter system where students in the first quarter only did classes 1-3-5-7 and second quarter then 2-4-6-8. But at the high school, we don't have an eighth hour, so we did early releases every single day to get rid of the lunch period. Once we came back for third quarter, the kids could still decide to stay online or in-person, and then we were teaching them both synchronously for the rest of the school year. Till now.
Well, this is going to be really interesting. So we've got kind of a blend of experiences. And fortunately, I think all of you got to experience both some amount of virtual and in-person. Well, everyone except for Brandon got to be seated and banned the whole time, which is great. But everyone else got some mixture. And then we also have a mix of big city and rural schools as well. So I think that's going to make for a really interesting conversation. Let's start maybe with the rural schools. Let's start with that, about maybe how what your experience was like, what kind of challenges you faced in dealing specifically with the pandemic and teaching students. And
at the start of the year, there were not ever have been had a lot of kids who would wear masks. I had a couple at the high school who did regularly, and I have one at the middle school who's still, when we left, did it regularly. My co-teacher and I were some of the only teachers who would regularly wear our masks, which was a little frustrating. We had kind of about wipe out half of our band for a couple of months. We always, through like September through November, maybe, that we would only have like half of each of our classes actually there.
Because they were out with illness.
Yeah, which was really fun in trying to prepare for a winter concert and, you know, football games. That was really great. At the middle school, we didn't really have a whole lot of kids that were out in any large period of time, which was nice, but kind of surprised me just like the lack of mask wearing. And that included it indoor and outdoor events too, because we would still have football games and there's a lot of people there, and basketball games and there's a lot of people there, and I could count on a couple hands, you know, how many people actually had them on.
That's really disappointing, and especially when people are getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thankfully, you kind of get it if they're not, but
yeah. Our second semester this last spring, we didn't have nearly as many kids out. I don't think at any one point we had someone who was gone because of COVID. It was really just that first semester that hurt us. And then the second semester was a lot smoother.
Did you have any conflicts with other staff or administration or parents or students over masks? Or was it just sort of to each their own, not really addressing it, just move on?
It was mostly to each their own. And thankfully, the kids that did wear them, I didn't hear anything of them being like bullied because they were wearing masks, which was really nice. I just had my sixth graders joking all the time that when they actually saw my whole face, they were like, "That's what you look like." It's like, yeah, I have a lower half of my face.
Right. Haley, how about you?
Yeah, I was pretty much about the same thing in that boat. Like I said last time, my main concern with COVID and ban, we didn't have to enforce masks. I couldn't enforce them. Trying to keep kids away from being kids and being all in each other's business on top of each other. Even towards the end, kids are still getting closer and closer. You got to play. I let them play duck, duck, goose, you know, hover hand over the heads. Didn't work too well. Being outside as much as possible. And we didn't have any away trips except for Paris High School, small band festival, which was really great. But as far as parades, we only had our few local ones instead of the usual big ones. So that's what we were doing, and just trying to fight the kids and keep them away from each other. And yeah, that first semester was not great for us. We lost a lot of people towards the end. Somehow all the kids were back for the winter concert. I don't know how. And the second semester was perfect. And I'm still questioning myself when I say perfect in COVID sense. So it is what it is.
That already makes it, it's already difficult to do what you all do. Teaching beginning band and teaching band is so difficult. And then to do it with half the kids not there is even harder. Doing it with masks is hard. It's all hard. We just made it harder. It'd be nice if we could not make it harder. Who else? Anyone else want to share what their experience was like?
I'm kind of a little bit of a hybrid as far as, I'm not definitely not rural because I'm right. Lime is essentially St. Louis. We're right on the line of city and county, but we're super, super small. I think in the whole district, we've got 1500 around in the entire district. And because we were so close to the city, there was definitely much more of a push on masks. We were all, students and staff were all required to wear masks throughout the whole year. But for the band program, because we're so small and I'm new this year, and then our high school music teacher, he's also new to the district this year, there wasn't a whole lot of guidance on how we should pursue making the band safe, the whole music environment safe. Which was nice in that there was less pressure, a little bit less fear of not getting it exactly right, but also concerning because we didn't know what we were doing. No one did really, but we were treading lightly to try to figure out how to maneuver that because I've seen it done every other way to try to make band work in a COVID-friendly way. And we did it just about as well as we could. But I think given our little small town feel in a very urban environment, it allowed for us to have the backing and support to help make sure we've got it all safe and ready to go, but also we had the flexibility to try to figure out what's going to work best for our program.
I know exactly how you feel about trying to move things forward, but also trying to be reasonably safe. And at some point, like you just have to make a decision and go. I was listening to a podcast a meeting that I was a part of with Charlie Mangini, and he kind of was talking about that same thing about how like directors specifically, we just need to make a decision and move forward. And so ours with our businesses, you know, my degree is in music education. It's not in virus prevention management or anything like that. And so you can quickly kind of become paralyzed of trying to figure out what to do. And so we just decided, well, we're going to follow what the CDC guidelines and our local municipalities of which our stores are in, what their guidelines are. And we'll just keep updating that as we get information. And we're just going to try to make the best decision we can. We're going to try to do the best thing for people's health and outcome. And by people, we, you know, mean not only our employees, but also our customers. And we'll just keep doing the best we can. And hopefully things work out. And if we make an error, hopefully people will be gracious and understanding. And I think by and large, that happened for us. I think people respected what we were trying to do. And we didn't have a whole lot of issues. We did have some. Always with people who didn't want to wear masks, almost never with anyone else. Super frustrating. I think I may have shared with Haley during our session that we got more one-star reviews in this last year than we'd ever gotten in our lives, which is kind of frustrating. And it's always because of the mask. And in all of our areas, our municipalities require them. And I just don't understand why people would be so rude and hateful to other human beings. I think that's the thing that's most frustrating. Is like, gosh, we are citizens. We, you know, we are neighbors. Like, how can we have so little regard for one another that you can't be bothered to put a piece of paper over your mouth to keep your germs to yourself? And man, just made me lose hope. Let me change this topic here real quick or move on to someone else before I start drinking. Okay, so Kayla or Kaylin, who wants to go next?
I was just going to add to what you were saying right there with I have realized that a lot of people, I feel like, were coming to me and my co-teacher saying, you know, well, what's going to be best in this situation, and just like wanted somebody to be mad at or something for the situation. And we were kind of like you said, like I didn't know what was best. This is also my first year of teaching, so like on the top of like trying to figure everything else out, like we were kind of told like these are our suggestions for what you should do in your classroom. And so Rockwood had all teachers and all students had to have a mask on at all times. But a lot of we have three high school bands and each of them are above 50 kids. And we have a very small band room. So to keep them 6 feet apart, wasn't always an option. So we had to find an alternate location. We had instrument masks for all of them, bags for all of the woodwind instruments, bells for all of the brass instruments. Percussion is kind of nice because they're already spread apart on their own. But it was then parents coming of like, my kid came home and said, this kid wasn't wearing their mask correctly in class, or are you keeping them spread apart? And it was us trying to figure out, we're doing what we're told. We're trying to do our best. We can't micromanage everything and we can't be perfect, even though we're trying to be, and we're trying to give you the answers that you need. It was just different for every class and every grade and all the way down to sixth grade. It was complicated, and parents were always looking to us like we had the answers, when I think we were all like, we have no idea what's going on, and it's COVID, so we have no idea what's going on.
Right. Yeah, the last time something like this happened, none of us were alive, and technology's changed a little bit in 100 years. People haven't changed. But you know, I think you make a good point, too, that there are people on both sides of it. And unfortunately, the mean ones tend to kind of resonate with you a little more. They stick out in your mind a little bit, probably because of the pain, right? But there was a lot of really nice people. I know early on, when it all first started happening and we didn't yet have masks mandates in the stores and our stores were allowed to be open, we weren't requiring masks because the city didn't require it. And then we had two of our people get COVID in the store. And I remember just feeling, and this was back in that time when, like, if someone in your business or your retail establishment or whatever had COVID, you basically had to tell the whole world, like, this happened. So if you've come into the store to these days, so this is during that time period. And I remember feeling so bad that we didn't have a mask policy in place before that to hopefully protect those people and protect our customers. And so I just wrote like an apology letter to our customers that we shared on social media. And I thought for sure, like, man, we're probably going to get creamed over this. And certainly one of the first comments was someone that said, I hope you lose your business over this. Yeah, exactly. But there were 500 or more other people that just showed love and support for recognizing, like, dang it, we screwed up. Like, we're really sorry. And we'll do better next time. And so the thing that's important to remember, of course, is not focus on like the one person who's just a turd, but instead to focus on the other people that have compassion and caring. And that's hard to do sometimes, but it's what we should do. Kayla, how about you?
Well, on the bright side, we actually had a relatively, about 75% of our kids were still in person. So based on our recommendations by the administration, between the administration and our parents, they were both extremely like, hey, we trust you. So whatever you want to do, we're going to back you. And so we went ahead and did a full marching band show just like normal. I mean, we ended up switching shows like last minute. So we made a fun show about going outside and having a good time. And, you know, because I just think the kids needed it. We all just needed to have a little bit of normalcy. And it went over great. We actually did not lose anyone. I mean, like, we didn't have a huge outbreak at all during the entire season. Now, we didn't travel or anything, but we did our football games and there was never any issues, which was great. But just having that support from the families and the administration was huge in that, because I don't think we would have been able to do that if they didn't have that. So that was really nice. And then, you know, virtually, that was, well, first in person, everyone wore their mask without question, because we were like, listen, if we're going to do this, you all have to wear your mask all the time, no exceptions. And they were like, yep, we want to do it. So I think having that little stick and carrot of like, do you want to have marching band? Okay, well, then you got to do this. And they were like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. So that was great. We had one outbreak right before the concert. And our wind ensemble was split because of the size. So all it took was one flute player and took out our basically entire half of the woodwinds. So the wind ensemble didn't get to perform at the winter concert, but everything else has been very smooth, which is awesome.
Did your district require everyone to wear masks as well?
Yes.
Yeah. That makes that so much easier when the district sort of taken the heat. It's just like the same thing for us when they're, you know, municipality says you have to do it, then you can be like, oh, it's not up to me. Even if you would totally make that choice, you just get the blame. It's right. This faceless entity that you really can't complain to, or you can, but it's not me. And, you know, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. I have so much sympathy for those of you at other schools that where the leadership wouldn't make that principled stand. And I'm saying this, you're not saying it. I want to be real clear. None of you are saying this. I'm saying that it's a shame that the district wouldn't stand up and say, you know what, we're going to err on the side of caution. And even though we're rural, everyone's going to wear a mask because we don't want to transmit COVID. And you know what? We also don't want to transmit the flu or cold or anything else. So let's just all wear a mask and just be safe. Better safe than sorry. It would have been great if they would have done that and taken the pressure off of you. But they didn't, and fooey on them. So we'll just move right along. And again, that's me saying that, not you guys. So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about virtual teaching. So teaching band is already a challenging activity. And I think for newer teachers, like getting that skill set is something that we think we're going to know because we've done it almost our entire lives to that point. But when you're on the other side of the podium, it's kind of a different ball game. And then putting a webcam and a microphone in between you and the students makes it a whole other thing entirely. So who wants to talk through maybe some of the challenges and some of the lessons they've learned about what you can and cannot do on teaching virtually?
I was thinking about this before we hopped on this podcast about what particularly about virtual learning made it really difficult. And I would say as a whole, as a first year teacher, one of my greatest weaknesses or flaws that was highlighted to me was the fact that I just had very little of an overall foundation as far as even looking at curriculum and how to build a foundation of a band program. Because again, I stepped into a position, I actually stepped in February, right before the pandemic hit quite suddenly. And then I was there for about a month, and then the pandemic hit. And then I came back and was hired back in August. But I just had very little of a foundation to go off of. And then virtual teaching, I think, took that and blew that wide open for me, because not only did I not have that on virtual, I was looking for something to take and then mold into virtual learning. And I just had nothing there available for me. And so I think we can all speak to it, but I think I felt like I was grasping at straws at the beginning there. I would say that there's a lot of elements as far as engagement that were difficult because we couldn't keep all of our students engaged, but when they weren't engaged, it wasn't impacting the rest of the classroom. I noticed that a lot. And so when we came back in person, I had to really learn about classroom management, because that was all out the door on virtual learning, because I didn't have, for the most part, I didn't have any severely distracting students unless they were, you know, spamming the chat. And I think, I don't know, I felt this both when we came back in October and when we started the year virtually. I think students were just happy to be back in some kind of regular routine, to get back to making music. Even if it was virtually, it felt like some kind of normalcy. Now, granted, had we gone fully virtual past October, I don't think that would have been the case. But because it was that sweet spot where the magic was still happening for them, they were holding instruments for the first time over Zoom, which was incredibly difficult for beginners. I think that was just still kind of magic to watch, because not only was it beginning band, not only was it coming back at the beginning of the year, but it was coming back after 6 months without playing their instruments or 6 months without seeing their friends. So I think that was something really sweet for me as a really new year teacher to get to experience that with them.
I think also to add on that, I know Aubrey is also a flute player, but I was teaching at Crestview. When I go over there, I teach beginning flute players. And so I had a group of 15 and then a group of 16, two separate groups. And it was like, okay, so let's get out our head joints. And this is what a flute embouchure looks like. And it's like, first off, I'm teaching you, like, I'm a first year teacher. So this is me coming up with like my own class curriculum. It's like, how do I want to teach flute? Like, this is how I really want to teach it. But now you're in your bedroom and you can't get a sound on your flute. And I know all you need to do is just turn it in towards you a little bit, but I can't like reach and like do that for you. So it was like that struggle of, I don't know how to help. It's like, do I like email your parent and say like, hey, your kid's having trouble. Can you just go in there and help them with this one little thing or something? But then, I mean, there were a few times I ended up having to do that, but that was other issues. But then when we were in person for high school, it was we've got three different high school bands and each one had a different amount of kids in person. So our wind ensemble had about 45 people in person and then about 10 virtual, whereas our symphonic band had at one point about 15 people in person and then like 30 something virtual. So it was just,
how does that even work?
Well, that's what we said. Luckily,
that's what you're trying to figure out, right?
I have a co-teacher, and so like I said, we were doing the quarter system. So second quarter, in the middle of second quarter, is when we came back. And so we had, with like our symphonic band, that we had about like 15 at the time and everybody else was virtual. We were kind of doing this rotation where one of us would take the in-person kids and one of us would take the online kids and we would switch. So that way the kids saw both of us, but like they each got specific attention. But then after a while, like the person who always got stuck, the virtual kids, It wasn't like they were bad kids or like anything bad was happening. Like, we've got great kids, we've got a great program and everything, but it was just like the person was stuck on the computer for the whole day.
Right.
So it was like, right, this isn't there. So we started just putting them all together, but then it was those kids and they were like, it's just like, there's a fire going on in my room in like my classroom. And then a fire going on in like at home. And like, you can deal with that at home. I'm going to deal with this in person. So I felt like it was like, I wasn't sharing the love with everyone and I felt bad. And so any opportunities we got to like bring those in-person kids in person, we would do like after school rehearsals before a concert or something to get those kids an opportunity to play with us and join us at the concert, or pep band, and we would allow at home kids to come join us, or marching band could be at home learners could come join us after school. Like anything to just like get those kids face to face, we did, just so it wasn't so much like you're on your own.
And your school district gave you extra stipend and extra money for all that additional work, right? That you're doing all this extra time you're putting in. We'll just move right along. Okay.
I did want to add, based kind of piggyback on what Kaylin said. I had the same situation where you're balancing in person and virtual at the same time. I had a student who came back in person second semester and he's awesome. He was one of my few who was logged on every day. Face was showing. He was playing along with us, loves band to the max. But he told me this semester, I'm starting, this is kind of who he is, but I hate to tell you, but you are an awful virtual teacher. Like, I'm like, you know, buddy, you are so right. I can't tell you any differently, because at a certain point, there's battles that you have to pick, and it's heartbreaking to have to pick that battle between, am I going to keep this program afloat? Am I going to keep the kids who are here working with me going so that we can move forward? Or am I going to go at snail pace and we're not going to make it this year? So mm-hmm. that just came to mind as you said that.
Listen to you say that reminds me of that old joke about, there's this country preacher, and I don't know if I'm going to tell this accurately, but I'll do my best. And he's getting ready for the Sunday sermon. He's super excited, new preacher, new to this area, and shows up Sunday and like two old cowboys show up and that's it. And he's so disappointed because he's looking out there and he's like, dang it, man, I was hoping to have like a full house and I just got these two old guys out here. And he goes, well, fellas, I don't know what you want to do. Like, and I kind of expected a full house and got this whole thing worked up and it's just the three of us here. What do y'all think? And they were like, well, if I go out to feed my cattle and only two cattle show up, I'm gonna still feed those. And he's like, that's right. That's right. So he just goes in and gives it his all, the full sermon. He's just yelling and hollering and just doing everything he can. About an hour and a half later, he comes to winding it up and asks him, he's like, well, what you guys think? And they're like, well, if I only had two cattle show up, I wouldn't give them the whole bale of hay. And sometimes I think with those students, it's the same thing. It's like, well, you know, I'm going to focus on the ones that are in front of me. And I have to, and I think what I've seen with, especially with my wife's a middle school band director. And what I've seen with her is there's times where she has this certain energy. She's very like bubbly and charismatic and fun. And then over Zoom, of course, she turns that up. And then sometimes like that stays up even when she's off Zoom or when she's in front of her kids. It's like, okay, you can dial that back down now, because we're just right in front of each other, like, and you don't have to yell. So I think sometimes it's challenging for that.
I guess I'll start with my virtual was its own hour. I had two sections, so 2 hours of virtual, which was great. I'd much rather do just virtual than have to do both. So I commend you both for that. But it was interesting because, you know, we go to college and we look at all these things and we student teach and we're like, okay, I'm not ready, but I'm ready. Okay. So then we get a call, or I got a call, you know, getting ready for my first year. And there, you know, it was talk of virtual learning, but no one knew who was going to do it. And they're like, all right, so you're going to teach virtual for the whole district. And this is like my principal on the line. I'm like, yes, sir, I am. I'm ready to go. I'm like, all right, so everything you just learned doesn't matter. Okay. You got to come up with all new things, which was interesting. I mean, my co-teacher was very helpful and I was like, okay, literally, I don't even know where to start with this. Like, what's going to be possible? It's a little different with, you know, high school versus middle school, because hopefully they already know how to play their instruments. And so I don't have to worry about that, but just keeping the engagement, or, you know, I ultimately decided like, okay, my goal is to keep you guys playing your instruments. That's all I care about. Like, I want you to have fun. I want you to play your instruments, because let's be real, this is not band. Okay. I was very upfront with them about this, because I was, guys, this sucks. Like, I know this isn't fun for me. I mean, I'm going to try to make it fun, but this is not band. Okay. I want to be very clear about that. You know, as soon as you feel comfortable coming back, we'll love to have you. It'll be a great time. But for now, we just got to kind of do what we can. So for me, I mean, we worked on some theory stuff at first and just kind of, you know, musictheory.net, bless. Okay. That was a lot of help. So that we did a couple things with that. I ended up having them kind of learn some songs that I was doing in person with my concert band. And the other thing was that we had totally different, it was like, okay, here's virtual. So I had freshmen through seniors of all different schools, all jumbled together in two random classes. So it was interesting, because it's like, you can't really teach to the student because there's so many different levels of knowledge. So it was like, okay, at first I tried being like, okay, here's level one, here's level two. Since I've never even met you or heard you play before, you can go ahead and choose which one you feel comfortable with, but make sure you challenge yourself. Well, everyone chose level one, no matter how good they were. So I was like, okay, well, that's done. That's like double the work for me. You're not going to do it anyway. So we're just going to have to go in the middle. And, you know, if you need help, ask, but if not, try your best. But after that, I did use some of the concert band songs and I like gave them recordings and play alongs and stuff like that. And we tried to do the whole virtual concert, but it was very difficult. So that didn't end up happening. But then I also had them learn, it was just like a Hail Mary at the end of like towards the winter break. I was like, okay, we're going to learn a song by ear. And that actually went over surprisingly well. It was like I did a survey afterwards and they all said that that was their favorite thing, because, you know, it's fun. They get to learn a song that they like. And So I did that second semester too, but it was interesting.
I love that you worked on have them learning something by ear. That's so great. If you all haven't, and anyone who's listening haven't heard the episode that Ron Sykes did with me, Why Beginning Method Books Don't Work, listen to that this summer at some point for sure. It's just so genius, I think. But that's so, you know, we do such a good job of teaching our kids to read notation, which is an important part of it. But making music is just interpreting. I mean, we only write down music so we could easily share and disperse it. That's really the only reason. If it wasn't for that, that's not how we would share how to play a piece, because the music never actually captures everything you're trying to express. You have to hear, when you hear an artist perform it, and then you look at the paper, it's like, oh, there's actually quite a bit more in their performance than what was on the paper, you know? And so I love having them start to use their ears to pick out even just simple melodies and stuff like that. That's going to be so helpful for them. When you work on tuning, it's going to help them just have a better, thorough grasp of their instrument. If they participate in jazz band, that's going to be super helpful for that. So yeah, kudos to you.
I did have one more thing that I just came to my mind when I was talking about, what do you do when you've got kids that are at home, and like, how do you classroom management virtually? Like, how do you classroom manage virtual kids? And at one point when I'm doing virtual flute with my sixth graders, I had this kid who he was sitting on the edge of his bed, and we were working on head joints. And so I play something, they play something. We work on just simple, you know, playing four beats in a measure and them tonguing and playing back and forth. And so we're doing it, and I've got a screen of all of my kids, and he's smack dab in the middle. And all of a sudden I see him like sitting on the edge of his bed. And then all of a sudden, head first off the bed, this kid completely fainted, passed out. And I was like sitting there, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I was like, literally, I don't know what to do. And all the kids were like, did he die? And I was like, no. I'm like, no, he's okay. I'm like, but I don't know what to do. And so I just like immediately was like, everybody just let's take a break. I like got on my computer, emailed the parents, and I was like, hey, I'm not sure if your kid's okay. You might want to go in and check on him. And he's fine. He was totally fine. But it was like one of those moments where I was like, I literally do not know what to do right now. And it was like one of, like, I was sitting there and I was like, what have I gotten myself into?
You must have missed that day when they covered that in your educational classes, what to do when your kid passes out on Zoom during a pandemic. That's why it's important that you go to class every day. I'm just saying. So I've heard. That's hysterical. Was he a flute player? Did he just like hyperventilate and that's why he passed out?
Yeah. Luckily we have like instrument specific classes with our sixth graders. So it was only flute players. And he was just like, he was kind of like sitting on the edge of his bed. So as he was playing, he was kind of jumping. And so, but he was like sitting on his knees. And so like when he went, it wasn't like his feet caught him. Like he was on his knees. So like he literally went.
He almost like propelled himself into his face.
It was like, the whole class watched it because they were watching me playing and I was watching them. So like we all had our faces on the screen watching and just watch this kid. It was terrible. So it was.
That sounds so awful. Any chance you recorded it? I have this terrible thing that like whenever I see a child get like something bad happen to him, not like bad, but just like, you know, something's going to make him cry, but they're going to be okay. I just think it's hysterical. I don't know what, I'm the worst person to be at a bounce house with children because, you know, like someone throws a ball and hits them and they knocks over, they're crying. I just start laughing. Like I remember we were at a birthday party once. I had to leave. Like I had to go outside. I was laughing so hard. And my wife's like, you're embarrassing. Like stop. And I'm like, I can't stop. And then, you know, if you've ever been in those situations where you can't laugh and you can't help but laugh, that's pretty much me. So yeah, if you do have the video, totally send it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I have my funniest story from virtual teaching. Like if we're being real here, So my district, when they went over virtual teaching and like the do's and don'ts and all that, they didn't require any of the students to have their cameras on. Okay. So they're like, you can't say you need to have your cameras on. Okay. And me as a first year teacher, I was like, okay, all right. And then I find out later that all these like veteran teachers were like, if you don't have your camera on, zero. And I'm like, what? they said we couldn't do that. Like no participation points, no mandatory like camera on. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. But there was one kid one day that had his camera on, obviously accidental, because it was like pitch black in the room. But all you could see was the light from the camera or from the computer on his face. Okay. And he's like, all you can see is his head like this. And so, you know, me being the person that I am, I'm like, hello, are you there? I'm like, hey, bud, you doing okay? And then all you see is camera off. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do with this?
I actually have a, with my 2 weeks being online, I was trying to figure out how. I didn't have enough time how, because it was only a week per, so we had 1 week in yellow, other week virtual because of snow days. So one of the things I was screen sharing because I was playing Kahoot with my kids, and I have people request to come into my online Google Classroom stuff, whatever, or Google Meets, whatever it's called. I had them come on and they have to request it. and I'm doing screen share, and somebody's buddy with a, you know, those quote unquote creative, inappropriate names that if you say out loud, kept trying to come in, and I declined really fast, didn't acknowledge it. Obviously, if you don't acknowledge it, nobody knows, correct? And they kept coming on. They kept trying. This was like five times.
Do students see when someone else is trying to join? Can they see that? Oh my gosh.
Because I was screen sharing for Kahoot.
Oh, right.
So Jack was trying to come on several times to the point I had to tell them, I'm like, if you know who this person is, tell them now before I find out who it is. Then come back. that was the end of him.
Oh, man. Kids, I tell you what, you got to love them. I mean, I would still do that to this day, and I certainly know people that would as adults, but we can't hold that against them. Not in a professional environment, of course. So any takeaways from either virtual band or pandemic teaching that you think will stay with you throughout your teaching career? And I don't necessarily just mean like, you'll never forget. But I mean, like, is there something that kind of came through this pandemic? You're like, actually, that I'll use. I'll give you one to kind of get us started of kind of what I'm thinking of. And I've shared the story before, but at the end of 2019, I was watching some videos about life in Japan. And one of them, the host was explaining why the people in Japan wear masks. This is pre-pandemic, and they do it for all the reasons we are all totally aware of now, which is just to keep from spreading illness if they're ill out in public. Because in Japan, there's a really strong reverence for their fellow citizens and friends and neighbors. And I remember thinking, like, gosh, man, in this country, we would never do that. But we certainly would be great if we would. Like, imagine if you had a cold and you could just put a mask on if you had to go out. It'd be great if you could stay home. Sometimes you just can't. You have to leave. And if you could wear a mask, but that just would never happen here. And then when all of this stuff happened, I thought, well, this might be the silver lining, that if we're ill and we have to go out in public, that we would wear a mask going forward. So I know for me, that'll be something that I'll do going forward that I think is useful, kind of normalized the idea of wearing a mask out in public if necessary. Were there any other things for you all that you feel like will kind of stay with you throughout your teaching career, or at least, you know, throughout at the conclusion of the pandemic?
Honestly, one thing for me, this would be just a flat out teaching thing and life thing, that I appreciate my space. Stay a few feet away from me. Teaching, well, now that masks are coming off, when I'm in the grocery store and someone's coming up behind me, I instantly notice it. Like, it's 4 feet, it's not 6 feet. Move back. And in a teaching standpoint, having those boundaries with the kids, because for some reason, every kid wants to be as close to you as possible to tell you something very loud. So that's one thing. I'm sure you were expecting some philosophical teaching thing, but that is what I am definitely taking away, because some of those kids move back.
Yeah,
they all want to be in your space.
Something also non-serious to go along with what Haley said. I love wearing a mask every single day. I love it, because that way when I'm staring down a kid, when they've done something stupid, but I think it's funny, they don't know that I'm laughing. They don't know that I'm breaking, because they can't see my mouth. It's just two eyes just drilling into them. And in my brain, I'm like, this is the funniest thing. But then also, they don't know when myself and my co-teacher are talking about them, because they can't read our lips. They don't know when we're being like, dude, this kid just is being really dumb today. Like, they don't know. And it's great.
Yeah, that is the silver lining for sure.
I do feel like because we entered the year with having to think of all these COVID precautions, I paid special detail to a lot of our classroom routines that I probably would with my beginners at some level. But I mean, it was down to the detail of which door you enter, where you walk to put your instrument down, how we go sit down, what are all of these little things. And I know some teachers, that's a part of who they are as a teacher. I'm not particularly organized in that way. And I think it forced me to get a real handle on what I expect my classroom procedures to be. And I'm not sure I would have had that in place had I not had to think about those details. So I'm thankful for that. That really helped set some routines in place for my kids and for me.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on the whole mask thing. I have realized that I am definitely in trouble when we don't have to wear masks anymore, because when I'm conducting, I sing a lot of the parts, or like, you know, I mouth a lot of the things. And so I've noticed, I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm going to look like, an idiot when these masks comes off, because I'm so used to doing it and no one calling me out for it. So that's something that I definitely have to work on. But also, kind of when I took this job, I was the assistant, so I knew that I would have the younger groups. But because we had to split the wind ensemble and everything, there were, you know, I had to take the brass and my partner took the woodwinds. And so it did definitely challenge me to be like up, like have a widespread of, you know, from the beginning concert band, beginning jazz band, all the way through wind ensemble, and work with those upper level kids. So I think it really made me grow a lot as a person to try to, because they were used to him, they were used to how he does things, and they expect that sort of level. And so for me, I was like, okay, I have to step it up. Like, they have to have the same quality of education as they would have, because otherwise I'm not doing them justice. So it definitely made me step up big time.
Yeah, that's true. I love what you were saying though about having your mask and singing along. It just reminded me of something that a former employee of ours used to say, John Seltzer. John is a Hall of Fame band director in Kansas, and he's back to teaching again, which is fabulous because he's just a master teacher. But he would always tell me, he was like, you know, one of his pet peeves, and I think he even wrote an article about his 10 things that directors shouldn't do. But he was telling me one day that one of them that he can't stand is when directors are up at the podium and they take a breath before, when they're, you know, bringing the ensemble in, like they're conducting him in, you know, so like as the wind musicians are supposed to do, but if the director breathes with them, you know, so you're like, if you're counting off, or he was a high school director, so he wouldn't count off. He would just be like that. And probably a lot of you do that. You do that, of course, because or people do that. Directors do that because they're trying to encourage their students to take a nice breath and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't work. Like the students don't, if they hear you breathe, they're not going, I need to breathe. Like, they just don't. And then when you're breathing, you can't hear if they're breathing.
I think the only thing, like the biggest thing for me, was we were always told, you know, we can teach you all of these things, but you're going to get into it and you're just going to need to be flexible and be able to kind of take whatever's thrown at you. And I feel like that has been the biggest thing, because it's been every day is, here's the plan now. Okay, here's the plan now. And not only like the mental game that has been for me and my colleagues and everybody to try and figure out how are we going to adjust this plan that we just spent so much time to figure out, but for the students, like the amount of mental health issues that specifically just in my band program that we have dealt with this year has been, I just didn't think that would be a thing that I would have to deal with so early on, but it's so prevalent. And every day it's, you know, it's just trying to figure out how to deal with that, which is another thing of like, I don't know exactly how to deal with this. And so a lot of things that I've had to learn of how to take care of situations where a student maybe isn't safe or things like that. And especially if they're virtual and they're at home and they're saying things, it's like, how, you know, so I think it's just being flexible and making sure that at the end of the day, everyone has the goal of whatever we're doing is for the best interest of the students, then you can't lose. And so if we keep that, if we did that this year and we keep going for the rest of forever, then we're doing the right things.
Yeah, unfortunately, for a lot of our students, being at school is the only place where they're shown respect, consideration, where they're supported, maybe where they're fed and nourished adequately. And when those things start to change, even when schools try to fill in those gaps during their virtualization, it's still not the same. And that creates a lot of hardships for our students. That's a very real thing and a very challenging thing. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
I would say on that same level, there was a really fine balance between me and my partner of like, one, you know, the balance of being the cheerleader and the kick in the butt. Like, we would constantly go back and forth of like, okay, guys, come on. Like, we know this is a really hard time. You know, we're all struggling right now. We're all struggling with motivation, and we feel like it's okay to give yourself a break, and you need to take that mental time when you need to, you know, and we're here for you if you do this, but you know, we're all here together. Let's try to make some music, you know, the good guy. And then the other side of it was like, stop being lazy. Like, go get your instrument, get it out, and we're going to play. Like, you need to do your job. You're coming here to be in this band. You need to be prepared to do your job. Like, it was like, yeah, Jekyll and Hyde every other day.
It's so difficult. And it's difficult to know what to do, right? Because like, is someone having like a legitimate issue, or is this something that one just needs to be challenged and pushed through? One of the things that's annoying me right now is how it seems like everyone has overwhelming anxiety. And on the one hand, I'm generally that type of person that just tries, I'm a live and let live, try to be sensitive to other people, that kind of stuff. You know, I want them to feel the same, do the same towards me. And I get like, there are some people that actually have like anxiety that requires pharmaceuticals or professional treatment, like totally get that. But I feel like there's a lot of other people that are just anxious and that they just want to be able to like, you know, either blame it on that or not take action for something. Because there's times I've been anxious over something like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but I know I need to do it. And like, you get that feeling like, oh, just, all right, I have to, I'm just going to do it and get it done. Because 20 years ago, I couldn't have said like, well, my anxiety, I just can't handle it. And now I feel like people can. And it's tough to know what's the best way to support and show love for someone. Is it to tell them like, I understand? Or is it to tell them like, get off your ass and go. Like, you can do this, you know? Do you kick him in the butt or do you give him a hug? You know, like it's sometimes it's hard to know what to do. And you hope whatever you choose that people know that you care and love for them. And whatever you're doing it with the best intention. But that's tough. It's tough to do. And especially as teachers, you guys are like that's half your job is parents today now expect you to basically raise these kids. So you can't just teach them band. You also have to teach them life. You know, and that's a really challenging thing. And I don't remember that being a class either in college. But one of my things I hope is a takeaway for everybody, and this is a simple thing that everyone can do if we'll just do it. But for years, Paul Schmidt, who is the head of our repair shop, has put together this session and this thing that he calls Maintenance Mondays. And he's done some workshops on it at MBA and MMEA. And it's all about how in the classroom, it's part of your routine, how students can do some basic maintenance items for their instruments that'll keep their instruments in their hands and not in the repair shop. And there were some hygiene things in there and then also just some basic mechanical things. And we have some schools that adopt it, but a lot of other schools, you know, kind of don't. And then they end up having their instruments in the shop quite a bit more. But I hope after all of the pandemic that people are more like, yeah, let's take some time to make sure that we're doing some basic hygiene procedures. Let's go ahead and wash out. Everyone washes out their mouthpieces on Monday or whatever. Brass on Monday, woodwinds on Wednesdays or something like that. Oiling things up and just taking some basic precautions. So while it's not necessarily a new thing, I'm hoping it's a thing that people will make a thing as we go forward. So last couple of questions as we wrap this up. And I just really appreciate everyone's time this evening. But first one, is everyone coming back? Are you all going back to teaching? Has anyone thought one and done? Like, I know I just gave it 5 years of my life, but I can't. Everyone coming back? Good, 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 good. That's awesome. So teaching in a pandemic, was it harder, easier, or about the same as what you expected?
I just want to say that I know that Kayla and I had these conversations in college where we had people warning us about student teaching and your first year of teaching. And they were like, be prepared. You're going to go home every day and cry. And we were like, okay, like whatever, whatever. Like, I mean, to be like, I'm the type of person that like, I cry at everything. And like, I just like cannot control my emotions. But like, I came home from student teaching and I was like, this is no problem. This is fine. But like the part that I like missed was the responsibility actually like all falling on me of like, I had the hang of everything else. But then when it was like, it's all on me or just me and my colleague, that's where the stress is. Like Haley was talking about the Misha stuff or of anything like that, when that stress is on you, like that's that part. And so I will admit to coming home many days and crying on my way home from school. And it's just, you just had to like get out the stress from the day. Yeah. So I think I would say a big fat no, this year was not how I thought it would go.
There is no shame in crying. Yeah. It's a very common experience. My wife is like tough as all get out. I mean, she's like beautiful and sweet and lovely and everything, but she's also just tough. Like she just not really much of a crier. And that first year she had an hour drive from her first job to where we lived. And at that first year, especially like the first couple of months, she cried every day on the way home. And then towards the end of that period, she started crying on her way to work. And that's when she started talking to me about it. And she was like, I don't know that I can do this. You know, I'm like, man, we just spent like a lot of time and money for you to do this. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, we have student loans. We have student loans that are more than what we're getting paid. Like, what are we going to do? But she weathered it out, and she's a terrific teacher today. But yeah, that was, you know, it's going to be tough, but you just never expect it. And then the problem is you do your student teaching and unless the coordinator who handles your student teaching program, unless they just hate you, they're not putting you in a bad situation, right? They're going to say, hey, I know this person's a good teacher. It's a good program. You're going to learn something there. And so you go to a good program that's pretty well run with someone who's established, and you're just in there for a couple of months, like having fun. And you're like, oh, this is great. I love kids. Like, I can't wait to do all this. And then like you get your own program at like Roadkill, Missouri or whatever. And like, it's not the same. And then like you have to make all the decisions, and like, yeah, it's a different ball of wax. So you're on the case of that it was harder than what you had expected. All right.
Okay. I will say I am not another statistic. I did not cry every single day, and I did not get divorced. So that's the other thing. we had this one teacher that was constantly like, yeah, you're going to get divorced. So there's no way around that. Oh my gosh.
I can attest. So it was like an every week thing. She said, it's inevitable. Music teachers get divorced, so just be prepared.
It's great. We really learned the hard facts there. But goodness. Yeah. No, I don't even know what we were talking about. I had to say that.
Did you cry? Not every day, but did you cry?
I've never cried because of stress. No. And that's honestly, I will say 100% thanks to my partner. He is absolutely amazing. He's a wonderful person. He really brought me into this role.
I told you my wife cries every day.
Okay. No. I'm saying this is because
I'm feeling like you're calling me out.
No. I had the support of my teaching partner, who was absolutely amazing. And he really brought me into this role as like, teaching partner.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
He's like, okay, you know, I want you to have the experience that I didn't. I want you to not feel stressed about this. If you need to come to me, you can. And, you know, otherwise I'm here to help, and just kind of gave me little things that I could handle. And then, you know, slowly more and more. So he's been amazing. I owe that to him. But just overall, I would say it's a tie, because we didn't get to do a lot of the things that we would normally do. Like, I didn't get to go to any contests. I didn't get to do any marching festivals. So there's still a lot that I missed out on that I don't feel like I'm prepared for, because I haven't done it. I'm still, you know, not in the role of doing that. But on the other hand, I would say, like, you know, mentally and just all that was a lot harder than what you would think, because even like setting up a classroom was like, okay, well, you can't just have band. Like, you got to do the tape, you got to do 6 feet apart, you got to make sure we have the masks and the bell covers and all that stuff. And then just outside of that, dealing with that internal motivator of like, you know, we've all done nothing for a couple months, and now we got to get back on the train and keep it moving and stay positive. And, you know, just kind of accepting like this new version of ourselves. I've certainly changed this past year. I used to be very like lists and, you know, have everything totally prepared. And now I'm like, okay, well, I have a concert tomorrow, so I should probably start, you know, thinking about what I want to say and, you know, all that stuff. So it's like totally different person for me, which I think is good, but, you know, just dealing with our new selves post COVID.
Yeah. Having another teacher, a cooperating teacher, or another teacher that's doing what you're doing, it makes this process so much easier. If you don't have that, you tend to feel like a one person show. And it's, even if you have like your mentor teacher in your district, but they're the art person or coach or whatever, it's just not the same. But having another band director alongside of you that can shoulder some of the load and say, hey, you know, you handle this, I can take care of more of it, certainly is quite a luxury and a great experience. Haley, you didn't quite have that though, right? You were in kind of the one horse town for instrumental music.
Call me.
Or music period, honestly. So
yeah,
easier, harder, or about the same?
I'll say like last time, I think it was for me about the same, mostly because I didn't know what to expect. COVID was just another thing added on with the new restrictions. I think, I'm still on board with about the same. Maybe if I had someone with me, it might have been easier, harder. Or maybe if I had more students, it would have been easier, harder. With the crying thing, I didn't cry a lot, but there was one plan period where the next hour I had an A-plus student. I yank her in. I go, look at me. Do I have cry face? And she said, no, we were good. But no, I would say it was just another thing to add. I've been told it's going to be easier from here on out. We'll see. I'm clinging to that, clearly.
Yeah.
I've had exactly. So many people tell me, like, if you can get through this year, you can get through anything.
They're probably not wrong.
That has been my mantra for like almost this whole year, because this was my first year and my co-teacher, it was his second year, and his first year was last year. So we were both like, well, whatever
happens. I'm just happy you're alive.
Yeah. Well, the last like month, we've just both been like, I'm so excited for next year. But I've been like, you know what? Can't get much worse than teaching in a freaking pandemic. You know what? It can really go up from here.
It's a great point. Yeah. That's the way to look at it.
And Brandon, to what you were saying, me and the other director at my school are also both new this year. So in the same boat, my colleague has been teaching for 3 or 4 years, but he's new to the school. So we're both new. And so
it's very crazy.
In that respect, misery loves company, right? At least we're in this together.
I feel like I actually may feel the opposite as a lot of us in this. I feel like this year was actually a little easier than I expected, only in that there were a lot of the normal expectations that would have been in a normal year. Even concerts, we didn't have a winter concert. And also, there and the district I'm teaching in, there's been quite a bit of turnover over the last 4 or 5 years or so, and the program has shifted in a lot of different ways, and the design of who teaches different music classes has changed a lot. And so a lot of things, even just in large ensemble festival, because I do teach at this high school level as well. I teach a little bit at both, but there's a lot of stuff. I mean, solo and ensemble things that a lot of things that normally we would have been a part of this year that have the expectation has changed, or it looks a lot different, or we picked battles and very particularly this year. And on top of that, I would feel in this year, there's a high learning curve, which we all know, having to jump into virtual learning or understanding COVID precautions in a band environment. But there's a high learning curve, but I felt there was a low risk, which already as a new teacher, I think there's this overall expectation of, you know what, you're a first year teacher. Yeah. So you're going to fail, and that's okay. And there's this extra added level of no one really knows what they're doing right now. No one is expecting that you get it right, because they're not going to get right either. So I felt a lot of that pressure was off of my shoulders this year. And so I'm actually expecting that next year is going to hit me maybe a little bit harder, because we're going to be back at full capacity with students and behavioral issues. Because I am a music teacher and our schedules are weird, I do have a lunch duty. At least this year I did. We're still trying to figure that out next year. Behavioral issues have been a nightmare. I've broken up many fights this year, something that I would have loved to have learned in college, how to de-escalate a situation, because I teach students who
when they're fighting, they're fighting. And so there's just, we're going to go from being at maybe 75% capacity at the end of the year to full capacity starting with the school year. We're going to have students who have not been in a school in over a year, who probably haven't even logged into Zoom classes for over a year. So the dynamic of our school is going to change. The expectation of what we need to do in a normal year is going to change. And my colleague and I at the high school, we're rebuilding a program and we love doing it, but there's a lot of little things that we are slowly adding back in. And so I did cry a lot. I will say that I am not immune by any means. And I also, like Kaylin, I wear my heart on my sleeves. I'm working on that, but I cry often. And I, gosh, even just recently, two seventh graders, man, seventh grade girls are mean. they really are. And just, I have one of my classes I teach, they're tough. And at the end of my day, I texted my mentor and was like, "Hey, can I come to your room?" And he was like, "Yeah, I've got students here. Do you need me to like ask them to leave, or do you want to step out?" And I was like, "It'd probably be better if students weren't there." So, I mean, I've had my moments 100%, and there are things that I did not expect going into it, most definitely. But as far as the level of stuff that I expected to have to really figure out and fine tune, I think with COVID, it actually allowed me in a lot of ways to take that pressure off as a first year teacher.
That was the same point I made to Lisa McMahon when we were talking about it. So on the one hand, it's hard because you have all these things that you're not prepared for. Plus, you're kind of not prepared as based on the list that we went through. There's a lot of things that'd be nice you had. But on the other hand, like kind of no one's judging you either. You know, it's like, yeah, you're a first year teacher. It's tough. And that's a pandemic. Like just do your best, kid. Like I mean, you kind of can't go wrong. And a good friend of mine, who's a very good band director too, Aaron Scriven, took over for Troy Peterson at Kickapoo High School. And Kickapoo is where my oldest son went to high school. And Troy has been a very successful band director. And I'm proud to say that Troy took over for me at Drury University because I handled all the sports bands. And so now he does that. It's like the only time he'll ever follow my footsteps. So I'm just going to bask in it. But anyways, where I was going with it is as long as Troy's been there and as successful as Kickapoo has been, traditionally, the next person to come in, regardless of who they are, is going to have a heck of a year that first year, because everyone's going to be like, well, that's not the way Mr. P did it, and so on and so forth, regardless of how good of a teacher you are. So I feel like my friend Aaron just kind of got a lucky hand this time, because this year sort of reset everything. You've almost had like this blank space, and then now he's going to come back in, and everyone's going to be just so pumped to be playing the B-flat scale together outside. They won't care about like the way it used to be. They're just going to be excited to be making music together again and to be doing this activity, to go to contests and to perform in front of audiences that are there to watch what we do. They're not going to care about the rest of it. And you're right. It all depends on how you look at it. And that's certainly a really, really good point.
Thanks for listening to the Mo Better Bands podcast. If you have something to share, click the links in the show notes of your podcast app and leave us a message. Or email me directly at donovan@springfieldmusic.com. That's donovan@springfieldmusic.com. If you'd like to be a guest, would like to recommend a guest or a topic, shoot me a line. Thanks again for listening.